السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah, to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And also we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows our last day of our earthly life to be the day of Jumu'ah. We were discussing last week some qualities of the Sahaba, specifically the Ansar, and how they went out of their way to accommodate the Muhajireen that had come. Like refugees, they had come from Makkatul Mukarramah. But how the Muslims, the Ansar, how they went out of their way to take care of the brothers. And we mentioned certain incidents of how once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that somebody had come and said that he was totally, or he was distressed and hungry. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to every home of his, and there was nothing but water found in the homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then another sahabi had offered, Nabi alaihi wasallam asked which sahaba were ready to take him, and a sahabi had offered and taken this person to his house. And in his home he had nothing except sufficient just for the children. The children were made to sleep after a long day in the heat, Arabian heat, we know how difficult it is. Children were made to sleep. They made as though the lamp, there was some problem in getting the lamp working. The lamp was put off. They acted as though they were eating, and this person was allowed to eat. They taken care of him, and Allah Ta'ala had praised this action of this person. In one hadith it comes that this was Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu anhu. So we mentioned various incidents. So just to continue with this, and what is our reaction, how we should react, and what lessons we should take from the Sahaba. So continuing with that ayat, the next part of the ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That person that is saved from the greed of his heart, these are the people that are indeed successful. Who are successful? Those people that are saved from the greed of the heart. The greed of the heart is such a strange thing that it doesn't matter how much a person has, he wants more and more and more, and he doesn't finish. Just this morning I was looking at some person's assets and liabilities. I was just looking at it, and if you look at it, you'll see so many sports cars there in his assets. You'll think to yourself that this person is running exotic showroom, exotic car sales. But you ask this person, every single vehicle there is exotic car. In other words, coupe is the highest range, sports cars, Lamborghinis. And you ask the person, he'll tell you, no, I'm not running any exotic car sales. This is my weakness. I got any exotic car I see, I want to buy it. And every one of them is financed through the bank. So this is such a thing that doesn't matter what a person has, how many he has, he still wants more and more. Anything he sees, he wants it. So therefore Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That person that is saved from the greed of his heart, whatever he sees, he wants. That person indeed is successful. Because this is such a thing that never ends. A person, no matter how much he has, therefore Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us in one hadith, a recipe to overcome this problem. And what recipe is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you look at those that are below you, don't look at those people that are above you. In other words, when you are looking and taking an example, or you're taking a lesson and you're admiring, look at those people that are below you in financial status. Look at these people when it comes to financial matters, not dini matters. Dini matters, we have to look at those above us and we have to try and be like them. Look at that man, how early he goes for Jummah Salah. Look at that person, how early he goes, or he always gets the first saf in the masjid. See how much of Quran Sharif he does. See how much of charity. So in good deeds, we look at those above us. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying in worldly matters, always look at those below you. You will never have a problem. So this is one way to overcome this greed of the heart. So anyway, just to finish off with some incidents of how Sahaba, they had overcome this quality. Allah Ta'ala had given them, blessed them, that they had this quality in them. Once, on one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was not well. He wasn't feeling, he was the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was not well and he was feeling for some grapes. So a person had bought for one dirham a bunch of grapes and gave it to him. So at that moment, at that time, somebody had come and was begging. So he said, give the person this grapes. So anyway, those people that were around him, they felt sorry for him that this person, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he's not well, he was feeling for grapes and he gave it away. So quietly one person went and he approached that beggar and he said, listen, I want to buy this bunch of grapes from you, please sell it to me. So he bought it back for one dirham. And he came again and he gave it to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Now what happened was the same beggar came back because he knew the generosity. So he came back to the home and again he started to beg. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma again gave it to him. So second time another person went and he said, please, you know, sell this thing to me, and he bought it. Now the beggar came back for the third time. When this happened the third time, then the people managed to stop him outside and said, no, don't do this, please. He's a great personality, don't do this. So this was their quality. It doesn't matter how many times the beggar came, they were prepared to give. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this was his quality. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he appointed anybody as governor, he put anybody in a leadership position, he ensured that that person was worthy of that position. He didn't give anybody any position just like that. Like how we have nowadays, if the color is right and the moon is bright, then the person gets the job. No, he was very, very particular that who got the job and how he got the position, and he would check on them. So on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent 4,000 dinars, gold coins, in a bag for Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And he sent his servant that, go and do me a favor, give him this bag of gold coins and stay there for a while and observe what he does with it. So in other words, this is almost like an imtihan, like a test to see what he does. So he goes, he makes salam to him, he says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sent this for you. So the first thing he does is he makes dua. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he makes dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And then what he does is he takes and he starts distributing so many for this home, so many for that home, so many for this poor person, so many for that poor person, until everything was completely distributed. So he comes back, the slave now comes back, and he tells Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, now what you do is take another 4,000 gold coins and take these gold coins and give it to Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. So he goes out again and he gives it to Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, telling him the same thing, that observe what he does and come and tell me. So Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when he got it, the first thing again he did was he makes dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He teaches us one thing: when somebody sends a gift for us, one of the first things we should do is make dua for that person. And then try and repay him in kind. If it is not possible for us to repay him in kind, then at least try and repay him by some kind words or some dua for that person. So anyway, when he came to Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal made dua for him, and then what did he do? He made small parcels, small packets, so to speak, that this packet is for this particular person, that packet. So in that way he distributed. Now Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu's wife, behind the parada, she was also witnessing what is happening. She couldn't control her emotions, and she said, by Allah, we are also poor. By Allah, we are also in need, that we also deserve something. So there was last two gold coins left. He takes that and he gives it to her. So then the slave now comes back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says that this is what Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that these people are brothers. They are brothers, therefore they have the same fitrah, the same disposition. This is why they're behaving like that. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That person that is saved from the greed of the heart, that person is indeed successful. And this is things that we have to also bring in our lives. On another occasion, we find in the Battle of Yarmouk, Hazrat Hudhayfa Adawi, rahmatullah alayhi, explains that he says that in this battle, I was going to look for my cousin amongst the martyrs. So when I went to see amongst the martyrs, and then I seen that I had taken some water with me also, in case that my cousin, my uncle's son, my paternal uncle's son, my cousin, he is in need of water. I found that he was on the throes, in the last moments of death. And I asked him, would you like some water? He nodded yes. I was about to pour the water into his mouth, and he tells me that, he hears the cry of someone else asking for water. He says, give the water to that person first. Imagine in their life they would be willing to sacrifice for their brothers. Imagine at the time of death also they were willing to sacrifice. So he says, I went to the next person, and when I went to the next person, just about to give him the cry from another person, he says like that, there were seven people I went round. Each one is saying, give the next person, until I come back to my cousin and I find that he had passed away. And I went to the others, they also had passed away. Even in the last moments of their life, they were willing to give for the next brother. So this is something that we have to bring into our lives. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions after that, that those that come after them, what do we do when we take lessons from these people? What do we do? One thing we do, Allah Ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبُقُونَا. We make dua for them, that these people had done so much for deen, that oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you forgive our brothers. And who have, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, Allah forgive us, and forgive our brothers who had come before us. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلْ. Oh Allah, do not put in our hearts any type of enmity, any type of envy, any type of hatred for any of our brothers. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For anyone that is a believer, oh Allah Ta'ala, save us from any type of enmity, Satan. So this is what a believer should have. He should have an external and an internal. Externally, he is happy to give, happy to meet, happy to be good or express goodness to his brother. Internally, he doesn't even keep any type of malice and hatred for his Muslim brother. These last 2 minutes or last 3 minutes, I just wish to mention one incident. It's quite one doctor had phoned me during the week. So he phoned, he's from another city, I won't mention the name of the city, but he phones every now and then for some advice. Sometimes it's financial advice, sometimes it's dini advice, but anyway, he phones. So this week he phoned, and he tells me that he's got a lot of concern. What is his concern? This is a doctor that if you look at him outwardly, he doesn't seem like a very, very pious person. When you look at him outwardly, that's the impression one would get. So he tells me, and he lives a life also, he explains in his story, that I live a life that how any modern person would live. So he tells me, I want to just ask you for some advice. I'm in a bit of a predicament. What's your predicament? He says that I've got one trust, and in the trust I've got many, many assets. And my wife was also a doctor, also a specialist. Now she's also on the trust, but it's very difficult for me. I'm actually in fear that decisions that have to be made may work against me. I may lose many of my assets that are in the trust. And the beneficiaries also that I put in the trust may not benefit from the assets that I put. I put my children as the beneficiaries. What must I do? So this was his concern. So I told him there's one of two ways. One very simple route is ask your wife to resign as the trustee, and you can put somebody else who you're confident that you'll have. Then he opens up and he tells me, I want to tell you something. These are his words, I'm just explaining it so we can understand. Sometimes outwardly when we look from here, things look very rosy, but sahibul bayt adra bima fihi, that person who is in the situation, he is best to tell you what is happening. So he says, I want to tell you something. I grew up in a home where my mother was the housewife. We grew up, we saw what she did for us in terms of love, what she did in terms of care, the way she grew up, the way my father dealt with her, the way she dealt. It was a very peaceful home. He said, but when I got married, I thought to myself that here I am marrying a secular-minded person, a doctor, a female. He said, things looked very rosy initially. And I gave her my credit card, whatever you need to spend, you take and you carry on. He says, things were very rosy. Our life was coffee shops. Our life was restaurants. Our life was overseas holidays. We are moving with other doctors and their wives. It was an outgoing life. Things seemed very rosy. He says, but as time goes, and as the children now were growing up, the time came where she had to give up her practice also for the sake of the children. But he says, the mindset now is a different mindset to what I saw of my mother. My mother was a homely person, the way she took care. He says, now the mindset is one of financial management. And before we continue, we must understand there's nothing wrong. Allah Ta'ala has created a woman beautiful. Allah Ta'ala has created a woman excellent. Allah Ta'ala has made her brilliant in the space that Allah Ta'ala has created her, for the position that Allah Ta'ala has created her. If anybody expects a woman to be a superhuman, to be one that can do financial management, to be one that can be running practices, to be one that can be economically advanced, and also at the same time be a mother to the children, at the same time be a housewife, at the same time be one that is showing, it is very, very unfair to expect so much of one woman. It is unfair to expect a woman to become a superhuman. So anyway, he's telling me his story. He says now that she had to give up the practice and at home. But that mind and that circle and the friends is such that all the time, every financial decision, if she's not part of that financial decision, Although all the assets and most of the assets are mine, I'm doing so well with my different practices that I got. He says, but from a psychology perspective, I'm telling you that that mindset, when it changes, it changes. It's very, very hard to bring a woman that already got a mindset of finance to become a mindset of a mother. And then he tells me in his words, he says, when money comes into the head, then mummy comes out of the head. Don't expect that woman to be the mother of your children. It will never happen. Her mind is only, any decision I make, if she's not involved, it becomes a problem. It becomes antagonistic. To such an extent, he says, now that she had to stop her practice, she's actually telling me every month I need to give her loss of income for the practice that she had to give up. She said, for your children, I had to give up my practice. So then he said, I never marry you so that you can become a locum to me and I must pay you a fee every month for loss of income. I'm giving you whatever, I'm giving you my credit card from day one as a wife, but not as a locum that I've hired. So now he's explaining to me. And then he's crying and he's asking, can a woman ever be on the same page as the husband? He says, I don't think it can be such. And tell your friends and tell people you know that don't be deceived and think that you're going to make your wife into professionals. You make your daughters into professionals and expect them to be a mother to your children. It never happens. I'm in this field for 25 years and other doctors around me whose wives are in the same situation, other professionals that we move and we spend time and we play golf with, they are in the same predicament as I am. So tell the people that don't get carried away. They rather settle for somebody like how our mothers were. At least their children will be safe. At least their home will be safe. At least they will be safe. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. My time is expired. This is something that outwardly looks rosy, but inwardly becomes a big problem. So let us be careful. Let us be cautious. What we want to do with our daughters and our children. They are, Allah Ta'ala has created them beautiful. Let them be beautiful in the space that Allah Ta'ala has created them. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.